Well, Paul Huttner, NPR chief meteorologist, is here again in Grand Marais, but this time it's not anything to do with weather. His band, Suburban Legend, is playing at the Gunflint Tavern this weekend, and he's joining us now in the studio. It is a pleasure to have you here today, Paul. Thanks for coming in.
Julie, it's my pleasure, and so good to talk to you. Thanks for having me in.
Well, it's our pleasure for sure. You know, before we start talking about weather, because what else would you talk about in Minnesota, right? Yes, let's talk weather. But first, let's talk about your band. You're playing at the Gunflint Tavern tonight and tomorrow night.
We are. We're called Suburban Legend. What we really are is sort of an offshoot of the larger WCCO blues band that I've been playing in on and off for about 30 years with Don Shelby and Joe Berglove and Stuart Devon, some people who worked at the station back in the day, and we all decided to get involved in a blues band, and we've been doing it ever since. So we have a four-piece horn section. There's like 10 people in that band. We can't fit everywhere, so this is a smaller version of that band.
Nice. So do you go all over Minnesota, or do you extend further than that?
We play, about every month or so in the Twin Cities, mostly in the Twin Cities. But, you know, I was up here this summer and got to talking to Jeff and Susan and Cassidy at the Gunflint Tavern. Good folks. And we get to talking about music. And, you know, I am a huge supporter of any bar that does live music. And they invited us up to play. So, you know, it's fantastic. I'm happy to be able to do it. And we're going to have a good time this weekend.
That's great. How many people in the band this weekend?
There are five. I'm a guitar player, keyboard player, bass, drummer, and a front guy, Joe Berglove, we like to say, who blows a mean blues harp and sings wonderfully. And Joe and I have been playing music for 30 years. He's one of the main photographers at WCCO-TV. If you've ever seen that Good Question franchise, he's the guy that jumps up on the G in the promotion. Stuart Devon also worked at the station back in the day. He's the only one in the band, by the way, who has a star on the wall of First Avenue in Minneapolis.
Wow.
With his percussion band Savage Oral Hotbed. They've been around forever, too. And then Russ Peterson, the keyboard player, a really good keyboard player. We like to say there's four guys and a musician in the band. He's the musician. He plays in about five bands in the Twin Cities, including the One Hit Wonders, who some folks may have seen. And Steve Pavick, a bass player who's played in the Blues Allegations, which is an old school North Shore band that goes way back to the 80s. And then myself.
All right. Sounds good. Well, that's at the Gunflint Tavern tonight and tomorrow night. So we hope people can get down there as well. Let's get back to weather. We were looking at the gray skies today, and you know, we've had some rain on and off. But what about this past year? What are some of the highlights from this past year that are memorable for you?
Well, you know, you can kind of think of cool, warm, cool, because we started on the chilly side in Twin Cities. We had that blizzard that went all the way into April, that April snowstorm. And then it warmed up, and the months of May through September were warmer than average across Minnesota. We logged 20 90-degree days in the Twin Cities this summer. I know that's North Shore folks hear that, and they're like, wow, because it just doesn't happen as much up here, of course, with Lake Superior. But it was a warm summer, and now we're back into a cooler-than-average pattern in October. Most of the state running about 5 degrees colder than average this month.
Wow. That's really something. Is that normal for a trend to cool down that much?
You know, those kind of trends, season to season, month to month, can be very erratic and random. The trends that tend to be more predictable are the El Nino trends in the tropical Pacific, and that can have an implication on our Minnesota winters.
Okay. Well, you know, we love it when the Twin Cities gets to be 90, 100 degrees, sticky, humid, and they all come running up here.
That's
and you know what they're wearing?
What are they wearing?
Flip-flops and t-shirts.
Yes.
Yes. And we tend to sell them sweatshirts.
Right.
And socks.
That's it.
Yeah.
And hot coffee.
And hot coffee. That's
and donuts.
Right. And donuts.
Donuts.
We have a lot
donuts.
Of good things for people who come.
I love it, too. You get out of the car in Grand Marais, and it's like, whoa, comes the jacket. Out comes, you know, the long pants.
Yeah. Oh, you bring a jacket.
Absolutely.
Oh,
I'm a Boundary Waters guy. I'm old school. You know, I bring whatever I need, so.
And you are no stranger to the North Shore. You come up quite a bit.
Ever since I was young. I remember when we were kids, my dad would pile us all in the old 57 Chevy and we'd drive up to Gooseberry Falls just for the day, you know, go up there in the morning and hang out. And I thought I was a kid in a candy store. And, you know, I don't know how many times I've been up to the North Shore over the last 50 years of my life, but it's been a lot. And I love it up here. It's a great The geography is fantastic, the views are fantastic, and the people are fantastic. So that's a win-win-win in my book.
We kind of think so, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, back to weather again. I love winter, and I love snow, and I like lots of snow. And so we're hoping that you're going to be here to tell us that we're going to have a lot of snow and nice winter weather this winter.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, here, the big trend is this El Nino that's developing in the Pacific. It favors milder than average winter statistically for Minnesota, but that doesn't mean that we can't get a lot of snow, because even if you're 5 degrees warmer than average, it's still below freezing in a lot of the winter months. So there, the North Shore is, you know, the snow capital of the world, especially the ridge right up the hill there, places like Finland. That's one of the snowiest places in Minnesota. So it's not at all uncommon to get to 70, 80, 100 inches of snow up on the ridge. My guess is you'll get your fair share this winter, and maybe southern Minnesota might see a little less snow, but that's not a slam dunk. The El Nino trends tend to be more predictable and reliable statistically with temperatures than with snowfall.
Are we different here on the North Shore because of Lake Superior with our trends? I mean, I know when you said over the hill, or I guess maybe I said over the hill, you said ridge.
Right.
We say that. Lake Superior keeps us warm in the wintertime downtown.
Yes.
But you go over the hill and you'll find snow.
And the reverse effect in the summer, right?
Yes.
It's chilly down here. You go over the hill and it's 80 degrees
up
the Gunflint Trail a little ways. That is lake effect in a simple term. That big body of water sits there and the temperature of that water dominates the weather along the shore. So in the summer, yeah, if the water temperatures are still in the 40s or 50s, you get that lake breeze kicking in, you know, it'll be in the 50s or 60s along the lakeshore, whereas it can be 80 degrees easily inland. The lake rules the weather along the North Shore, there's no doubt about it. And that reverse effect in winter is true, too. The water temperatures I just checked are still in the 40s just offshore. So you get a big cold front coming in, and the first good one, what we'll get in the next couple of weeks, I'm sure, and you know, if it's in the 30s or 20s inland or even teens, you know, you can still be in the upper 30s here right along the lake.
Sure. So mild winter.
Potentially.
About
70 to 80% statistically.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But we're still hoping for big snow.
Well, you are.
I am.
I love the snow too. I do. We live in Minnesota, right?
That's right. Yeah. I guess we need to love the snow or not be happy to live here, right? So when they hear your name, they think about following you. I know you have a Twitter account. You also have a blog, don't you?
Yes. Updraft is the blog for all the weather at Minnesota Public Radio News. I started that, has it been 10 years? I think it has been 10 years. I've been at NPR for 11 years. And MPR Weather, at MPR Weather, is the MPR Weather Twitter handle. That's my Twitter handle. And so that's where I'm putting a lot of our, you know, everyday weather content that we're writing about, that we're talking about, tweeting anything that looks interesting, whether it's about El Nino and winters or hurricanes or climate change. And we also have a project called Climate Cast that I started 5 years ago now. It's a twice weekly radio segment where we dig into all of the news, science, and solutions around climate change, because that story is coming at us more every year. We're seeing the impacts across Minnesota. Our winters are dramatically warmer than they were 30 or 40 years ago. That's a measured effect, not a climate model. So as we follow that and we see businesses start to get involved in solutions and companies and renewable energy, it's a fascinating landscape to report on. So I really enjoy that project.
Nice. What about the other Midwestern states? Are they seeing the same things that Minnesota is seeing with trends?
Yes. The farther north you go in the U.S. and in the continent, the higher the degree of warming. And it's interesting the way this is playing out, Julie, that the greatest warming is in winter and it's in and winter nights, because carbon dioxide, extra carbon dioxide in the atmosphere tends to re-radiate heat. So it doesn't drop as much at night as it used to in the winter on a clear, cold night. It's still plenty cold in Minnesota, uh-huh. but if you're 5 degrees warmer in winter, which we are in northern Minnesota, compared to where we were at the first half of last century, that's a significant difference. So people are seeing that in the environment. The lakes are tending to freeze later. They're tending to thaw earlier. And we're just not getting as cold as we used to. It's Lee Frelick, who's a forestry biologist at the University of Minnesota, says 40 below is a magic number for those forests right out that window there. 40 below is a high rate of insect mortality. So the pine beetles, things like that, if it gets to 40 below, it kills most of them off. But it's harder to get to 40 below now. And in those years, that's why they get more concerned about tree disease in our mm-hmm. forests.
Well, you know, it's funny that you bring that up with our wood ticks. We didn't have, I grew up here, we never had wood ticks. I didn't know what one was mm-hmm. until I went to southern Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And we have them now.
Right.
And it's probably because of that magic number, I suppose.
That seems to be what the biologists are telling me, and that the ticks have exploded in places like Cook County here.
Yeah.
And that the deer ticks, the same thing. And, you know, I don't know how clear the links are still with the moose population, but I think it's getting stronger, the science that says that's one of the reasons the moose are having trouble. But yeah, the climate's changing, so the pests adapt to that very quickly, and they're moving north.
That's something. We've been speaking with Paul Huttner, NPR chief meteorologist. He's in town to be playing at the Gunflint Tavern tonight and tomorrow night, but he has graciously stopped by the studio to speak with us. One thing that is really memorable, weather-related for you, is there one storm, extreme weather, something that you'll never forget?
Well, there are two okay. in my lifetime and career. The first one is 1965, the tornado outbreak in the Twin Cities. It's literally my first living memory. I was 4 years old. My older brothers and sister came home from school, and there was a big storm, and there were these huge hailstones falling, and we had football helmets on going out to try to pick up the hail because we're a family of weather geeks, right? So we're putting it in the freezer, and all of a sudden the back door flies open, and my mom yells out, "You kids get inside. Your father called. He said there's a tornado coming." My father worked at the city of Minneapolis, and he was in there with the police, and they had the radios going, and we're getting all these reports of tornadoes and damage. So we went in the basement, and I remember watching the sky swirl and the trees outside, you know, almost getting ripped down. And our house wasn't damaged, but just about a half a mile away, the neighborhoods were wiped out because the tornado went through there. And I saw that, and I wondered, what did this? And that's what really got my interest in weather started.
Really? Yeah. At such a young age, that's amazing.
Yeah, and if I could play that back today, if I had Netflix for my brain, I can see it vividly that day.
I bet.
Yeah.
That's not something that you'll forget.
No. And the second one was really the Halloween megastorm in 1991 that, of course, brought 28-plus inches to snow to the Twin Cities and over 30 for Duluth. And that was really my big break in TV. At the time, I was a young, budding meteorologist at WCCO-TV, and they said, okay, we're looking at the maps the day before. It's like, guys, we're going to get 20 inches of snow, and we're all looking at each other going, I don't know. And so I think we put out a forecast of something like 6 to 12 inches plus. And
just to be safe.
Just to be safe. And they're like, oh, we didn't have a morning news at the time. And they said, okay, Paul, you come in the morning, you just do a couple of updates, and we'll be good till everybody else gets here. Well, I came in, you know, 15 inches of snow when I woke up, already on the ground at about 3:30 in the morning. I barreled my car into downtown Minneapolis, piled it on a snowdrift in the parking lot behind the station, got in there, and I was the only one that made it in that day. Me and a news director, and eventually Trish Van Pilsum, who's a reporter now with Fox 9 News. She's an investigative journalist. We broadcast the weather all morning. We were live. My boss came in and said, Paul, I want you to turn this into the Weather Channel. I want you to go on the air and stay on the air as long as you can. And we did. We were on for almost 5 hours straight. I was talking to our news anchors from their homes by telephone because they couldn't get into the station.
Wow.
So it was really my big break. And that day, the ratings were through the roof. I think we did a 44 share that day, which is one of the largest days in the history of that TV station. So one of my bosses came in the next day and said, Paul, congratulations. You're the only person that has their own 40 share in the history of WCCO television.
So. The Halloween storm of 1991. That's right.
Yeah, it was a big day.
Paul Huttner, NPR chief meteorologist. He's up here talking weather with us right now at WTIP. Thank you so much for coming in.
It is my pleasure. Thank you, Julie.